Now, from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace and Brandon Johns. Look in my eyes,
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Jawan Jennings throws it, fakes the spike in the end zone. Touchdown. Whoa. Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Neon lights, Nobel Prize. When a mirror speaks the reflection line.
Good Tuesday afternoon, everybody. It's Optional here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Slowly but surely making our way through the week. This is the type of night where I wish we had some kind of Mac action, Mac Tuesday type deal.
A little bit of action.
Yeah, turn your mic on.
Hit the wrong one.
Yeah, I know you did.
Because Chance wasn't here. I was jumping the gun. I miss him.
Yeah, I know. He'll be back Monday. We'll start full time with Chance Monday. He'll be co-hosting every day with us. Excited to bring him aboard. We're just moving forward, man. So no Mac action tonight. Biggest news probably coming out of today is in college football, in my opinion, is Willie Taggart and his prepared statement down in Tallahassee, which that's becoming a train wreck in itself. When you open up a press conference with a prepared statement, you know things aren't going well. Antonio Brown, we don't do much in the NFL here, but Antonio Brown not showing up for workout yesterday for the Steelers. That's news. Josh Gordon going to the Pats for absolutely nothing. Did you see what he really got traded for? Like, he was doing a photo shoot.
I didn't know the reason, but I just assumed. Like, I thought he was, like, late to a practice, and the Browns were finally like, all right, enough's enough.
He was doing a hype video Friday night at the Cleveland training facility, and they gave him his blessing, but he told them he was doing a promotional shoot. Well, he was out there running routes and doing a 40, and it was like a hype video. And he goes out there and strains his hamstring.
Did he get hurt out there doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, he must not got hurt if the Pats
right.
took him. You know what I mean? Like, it must not be, like, seasoned, but, I mean,
right.
he might be out a week or two. Just stupid stuff, man. I don't understand it, but I'm not Josh Gordon's agent. Still getting paid, though. I don't get the prepared statement down in Tallahassee that Mark Moses is going to be coming on with us at 1:30, and trust me, we will get into this. Went on a show down in Gainesville earlier this morning. Bye, Ben. Have a good day, buddy. It's good to see you. Oh, God, Ben Lee. Went on a show down in Gainesville this morning. They're very optimistic about chances of coming up to Knoxville and pulling something off. But good guys, Nick Delatorre, Andrew Spivey with Gator Country, had me on. And look, you know, they asked me how I thought. I gave them a prediction. I'm not going to give you that prediction on our show.
That makes me question who you chose to win, Trey.
I'm not going to give you the prediction on our show. I won't give you a prediction until Friday on our show. Maybe Thursday when Christopher Smith from MyBookie comes on. Don't look at me like that.
Nothing to say.
It's cool. Nah, it's cool, man. Everything's good. Other news going on around the country. Go back and look at Andy Staples' piece on Troy. He went inside Troy Trojan's football program and their big win versus Nebraska. I thought that was a really good piece. No references of Mario Kart or anything like that here today.
No. I was going to say about Troy's catch.
You don't get that either.
No, that one went over my head. But I was going to say about Troy.
Neil Brown.
That guy, yeah, he's got to get a job. He beat LSU last year.
And beat Nebraska now.
Beat Nebraska this year.
Two big Power Five teams.
Yeah, and LSU was good last year. Like, they finished in the top 25.
I think he will. It all depends. He's very invested down in Troy. If he wants to get out this year or next year, I don't know. Neil Brown's a really good guy. I've known Neil Brown for a while. I think he'll end up taking a Power Five job. Just don't know where and what's opening yet. Lane Kiffin is already looking at the market in Tallahassee right about now. But here's my question, though. And we're going to talk Florida-Tennessee, guys. I want to get y'all's opinion on the game. What are you most worried about when it comes to the Tennessee-Florida game this weekend? Call us on the McKinney Team Hotline, 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Let's talk about that. What are you most worried about when it comes to the game this weekend? But getting back to Willie Taggart, you know, 24-25 mil, they'd have to come up with something. Like, I'm talking, somebody would need to come out and say something to get him with a cause.
Right.
If they wanted out of that.
I mean, honestly, if it continues to go the way it's going, I bet they could crowdfund his buyout.
Dude, Northern Illinois is not a pushover either coming in this weekend.
No, they were in the Orange Bowl a few years back.
Northern Illinois, Jordan Lynch was their quarterback.
And they played Florida State in that Orange Bowl. How about that?
I'm telling you, they aren't. It's not a pushover this weekend. Jason Martin going to join us in the second hour from the Big Six in Nashville, 104.5 The Zone. Excited to have him on. I look at the FSU situation and I think, okay, that's one new coaching job that did not start right. And I don't know how they turned that around this season, because it just seems like the players have kind of like, okay, whatever. At the end of that Syracuse game, that was disgusting, the amount of effort that was put out. And I get it. These are 18 to 22-year-old kids, men. I'll say men, not to say kids, but men. They're going through adversity. We'll see how they respond. But they have not looked good. I mean, even you could tell with the Samford game that they weren't looking good. And then you add on to the fact that they go up to Syracuse and just get blown out. That's coaching. That's not talent on the team. That's coaching, right? I mean, you say?
Absolutely. Just given, like, look at the recruiting classes for, like, the past 20 years.
Right.
Florida State, by far and away, well above Syracuse in talent.
Cam Akers.
You get beat 30-7. I mean, you just got outcoached. The other team obviously wanted to beat Florida State a whole lot more than, I hate to say, the who wants it more, but like you said, the effort in the second half was just non-existent. And it looks like a team that doesn't really believe in their coach.
Yeah.
They don't believe in what they're doing. And I don't see how it gets better, but, you know, sometimes these teams like
we'll
that, they get their backs against a wall and they come out fighting, like LSU with Ed Orgeron. Like,
they fought for him, and the guy I feel bad for is DeAndre Francois as well. He just can't stand upright. I mean, they're killing him on the line. So that's something to keep an eye out on. When it comes to what they're going to do down in Tallahassee, if they go like 3-8 this year, whatever you want to call it, that's not going to end up good. It's interesting how Jimbo leaves and all of a sudden things go to crap. Like, my question was it Jimbo or was it his surrounding staff? You know what I mean? Same players.
I think it is easy to tell, based on how A&M played against Clemson, that Jimbo Fisher is a better football coach than Willie Taggart.
Well, hell yeah, that's out of the question.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I think it's Willie Taggart.
That dude didn't have a winning record coming in.
I mean, exactly. Gosh, talk about buyer's remorse. Three games into the year, and they're just like,
that's what they get.
That's right. Should have hired Kiffin. They had a shot, and they chose not to.
Hell, you could have hired other people besides Kiffin. It didn't have to be Kiffin.
Honestly, anyone. Hire the guy from Troy.
Neil Brown. Yeah. No. They just, that goes.
Mike Leach. Mike Leach would have taken that job.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have gone over well. Brandon, what's your one biggest worry heading into the Florida-Tennessee game? 865-546-8200.
Man, just our offense in general going against Florida's defense.
I mean, what are you worried about with Florida's defense? You worried about C.C. Jefferson coming off the line? Because, I mean, it's not like Florida's defense has been world beaters. Now, I will say C.C. Jefferson did not play against Kentucky and Charleston Southern.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Florida's defense has been world beaters, but our offense, just, we talked about it yesterday, just vanilla. There is, our only scores this year have been, we're bigger and faster than you, and we're going to run it at you. You know what we're going to do.
Right.
And that works if you are bigger and faster like Alabama is in most of these games. You know, they could line up and just blow anyone off the ball. But when you're Tennessee, my goodness, we're going to have to get a little more creative, step out of the comfort zone a little bit. And, I mean, I know, too, offensive line, you can only run what you can block, so...
We'll see how it plays out. Tennessee's offense has got some work to do. They have – what worries me a lot is the offensive line setting up, being able to set up with the pass. That's something that's going to worry me with Tennessee on Saturday. We'll talk about the ticket thing here in a little bit. I want to be able – after the break, we'll talk about the ticket thing. I want to be able to explain to you folks kind of – what it means when Tennessee offers an allotment and some folks don't take it, who's that fall on, the tickets that are remaining for sale for the game this weekend, kind of a behind-the-scenes look. I worked at the University of South Alabama in the athletic department. I understand the whole ticketing thing and how that plays out. So we'll talk about that and more. Let's go ahead. We'll hit our first break of the hour, and then we'll come back and talk about that, and then we'll take your phone calls as well. We're breaking all things down. It's Tuesday. We're getting there slowly but surely. This will be the longest week of your life when it comes to college football as we try to lead into Tennessee and Florida at 7 o'clock Eastern time Saturday night on ESPN. I look forward to that game. Can't wait to cover it. And then I have to go down to Athens and cover that. I don't know what that'll be next week. We'll see. We'll talk about that more on the other side of the break. It's optional. We're on Fox Sports in Knoxville.
Of our program, and I can assure you that no one has higher expectation than I do. We have a proud history and tradition of football at FSU, and it is on our shoulders to carry on the torch. And our fans, students, alumni, former players deserve a team that plays better than what we have so far this season.
God, that just. That sounds like I hate it for him. I hate it for him. But that sounds like a man that's defeated right now in Tallahassee. And maybe he's just trying to reassure his fan base. And I understand it. It's Florida State. Get it. Usually you're fighting for the ACC, title. I will say this, if Florida State was in the SEC, they'd probably be, second, third each year when it in one division.
Do you think Florida State could beat Tennessee?
No.
Yeah, as of now, I'd say no.
Yeah, as of right now, no.
I was going to say, though, I actually kind of liked his, statement because he took some ownership.
No, but I like his statement. The only problem is it's bad you're having to get that statement
right.
three games
into your career at Florida State. But
Right.
At least he took some ownership. My goodness, we had, hate to say his name, but Butch would never have said something like that.
I don't think he took.
Well, he said, you know, they deserve a team.
Prepared statement that somebody wrote.
Right, but I mean, he said, like, in it, he said they deserve a team that's played better than we have so far. So there is some ownership.
Well, a little bit. 865-546-8200. All right, let's get into this. I had a bunch of people ask me, and they're DMing me an email, and I get it, it's cool. I didn't quite understand the Tennessee allotment deal. So I want to kind of explain this to you. Every football season, starting kind of right after, so in the springtime, season ticket holders for universities will put in their orders with such university. Okay, I'll take Tennessee for example. In the springtime, you put in your orders, how many tickets you want, what your donation is going to be, and then you also, when you do this with the university, now it's all online, excuse me, you select which away games you would like to go to. And if there's enough, they'll give you tickets. So okay, I'm trying to make this personal. Okay, I'll make it personal for you. I got a family member that would select season tickets to a certain school. He'd do it in the springtime. He'd make his donation, put in how many tickets he wanted each year, pay for each ticket, and then you put in for what games you would like to attend on the road. So big road games would be, you know, Georgia. They would be South Carolina, you know, in Vanderbilt, I guess, this year for Tennessee. Now, here's the thing. Usually universities, okay, Tennessee, the University of Tennessee gave Florida the opportunity to take around 7,500 tickets for the game on Saturday, which would fill that lower left section in Neyland Stadium and then fill the top part of the stadium. What happens is Florida only, once they got a clear look on what season ticket holders would want, and this was over the summer, towards the end of the summer, they then tried to figure out what they think the general public would want, and they couldn't sell this game. So only around 2,600 tickets. So Florida only asked for 2,600 tickets. Now, I'm sure Florida will bring their full band, I imagine. Maybe the pep band. Whatever. Probably around 50 to 100 members. Lots of family. So, really, that's why you've seen tickets for sale in Neyland Stadium. And that's when I called a Tennessee official yesterday, they told me just under 5,000 tickets remain. Well, guys, it wasn't that, and I want to make this clear, it wasn't that Tennessee couldn't sell tickets to the game. It's that Florida didn't sell out their allotment. Florida sent back almost 5,000 tickets for the game. And when I say sent back, there's a difference. Florida asked for 5,000 tickets less than what they were allotted for. So, what that means is they don't have to pay for the tickets. That's just what Tennessee had offered them. So now they're on sale through the university. So I warned folks, last night I did this. If you want to go to the game on Saturday, and if you think you can get them a little cheaper at the game, cool, I understand. But if you're out there buying tickets right now through StubHub or Ticketmaster or anything like that, stop what you're doing. Go to I think it's called All Vols Ticks, or I'll tweet out the clear part. But you go to their website, and last night I looked it up. Same section, five row difference, two tickets. It's about a $65 difference between StubHub and purchase them through the university. I'm not sitting here lobbying for tickets. I'm trying to tell you how this works. So now Tennessee has got right around 4,800 tickets, 5,000 tickets to sell for Saturday. Florida doesn't take a hit on that. That's all University of Tennessee now. So now the Vols have to sell them. So that's where allotment is. Now, sometimes during the season, schools can, if they put in for their allotments before the season starts, about 2 weeks before the game, they can ask for maybe a certain amount of tickets and a special request. I was told Florida sold out their allotment for the Mississippi State game, which doesn't surprise me. Also, Mississippi State's probably only going to have around 4,000 tickets to be able to give to Florida. Tennessee's such a bigger stadium, that's why they had 7,500 tickets for Florida. And usually, if Florida's good, they're going to sell out their allotment. But too much skepticism going into this game. That's why you won't see as many Florida fans as usual. So that's how it works. That's how ticket allotments work. I wanted you guys to know this. Brandon, do you have any questions after the lesson I just taught you?
No, I was pretty well versed. And
Brandon, no, you're supposed to say, man, Trey, that was an awesome lesson.
It was. If you did not know, you know now. But yeah. It's like.
That's how it works. Like Bama usually gives out around 6,300 per game. LSU, you're going to be looking at around the 68,000 to 7,000 per game. Each school, you know, is different. Like Kentucky, I think Kentucky probably only gives around 4 to 5. Usually it's endzone and upper deck. Georgia, they give out around 6. The allotment necessary is 6 by the SEC conference. If you can't fulfill that because of your stadium, it's different. So that's how it works for the game this weekend. That's why tickets are still for sale, uttix.com. Go buy them. Snatch them up. If you don't want Florida fans taking over your state, and it's not going to be a takeover, okay, like Alabama did like 4 or 5 years ago, where it was probably more Alabama fans almost than there were Tennessee fans in Neyland Stadium. But I think Tennessee, you know, they'll sell out the game Saturday, and it'll be crazy. It'll be raucous. They'll have a big walk-up, and it'll be a fun environment. But that's how you do it. There's your lesson for the day. If you still want to go buy your tickets. Don't buy them off the secondary market. They're too expensive right now compared to the original market. Up next, my man Mark Moses from 1560, the Fan down there in Melbourne, Florida. We're about to talk Willie Taggart. We're about to talk Gators. What's going on? What the hell is happening down there? Is the red panic mode button been hit? Let's get out of here. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll see you on the other side. Take my hand and come with me because you look so fine that I really want to make it's optional on Fox Sports Knoxville, or as Mark Moses liked to say, is it really optional? And for me, no, you are forced to come on the show, just like I'm forced to come on your show anytime that needs be, brother. Mark Moses joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Hey, my man. I'm doing great. My Bears actually have a football team again.
Yeah!
That's right. That's right. Thank you to John Gruden for being stupid enough to trade Khalil Mack to the Bears. It's fantastic.
What the hell? How did that... Look, man, I'm not an NFL aficionado, okay? I do follow it, but, I mean, how does Khalil Mack end up in Chicago?
Well, you know this with the salary cap.
Yeah.
They couldn't pay him.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're paying Derek Carr. So what happens now in the NFL is it's like, well, are you going to pay the quarterback or are you going to pay your top player? You can't have a Von Miller, Khalil Mack player and then also have Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr. You can't have them both on your team. That's like when you look at Philadelphia last year.
Yep.
Remember, Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, they don't make any money. That's how they could pay all those defensive players. That's the current state of the NFL. I wish it was like Major League Baseball, but it's not, Trey.
What? Yeah, congratulations on the win. I thought it was I caught the second half of it. That was fun. I mean, it's always – look, when the Bears are good, for some reason, it kind of means maybe all is right in the world when it comes to NFL and – I followed Mitchell Trubisky for a long time now, so it's neat to see him doing good things up in Chicago. So, Mark, this morning, you know, I'm coming in the studio, I'm doing my thing. I do a hit down there in Florida, and old Willie Taggart pops up on my Twitter line. And the statement he read this morning, man, it was prepared. It seemed like it was a state of the program address 3 games into the season, coming off three horrible performances, let's be real here. What do you make of all this mess going on in Tallahassee right now? Buyer's remorse, trying to figure out where the hell to find $24 million? What do you make of it?
It's so crazy from the standpoint of, I was on television last night in Orlando, and they posed the question to me, is there any way Willie Taggart gets fired this year? And you're just like, what? Like, what are you even talking about after a while? Like, he's coached 3 games.
Right.
But that's the world we live in now. And I know I was on your show a couple weeks ago when we started talking about this. This is how bad it is right now. They have 1 touchdown in conference play.
Stop it.
How is that possible? 1. And they talk about the O-line is bad and the running game's not going. There's no adjustments. And the quarterback, it's really bad. And when you look at the history of Florida State football, over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 decades, they're not this bad.
No.
Like, I mean, they're always winning 8, 9, 10 games. Even in a down year 2 years ago, they win the Orange Bowl and beat Jim Harbaugh. I mean, it's crazy where we're at right now, but just remember something. Jimbo Fisher jumped ship. He saw that this was a sinking ship, and he said, you know what, I better get out of here, and that's why he took the $75 million. Well, that and the $75 million, but seriously, because of what he saw last year. And don't forget, this were Florida State fans. I think they're like in, I don't know, La La Land during the offseason. They were a bad football team last year, Trey.
Right.
This is nothing new with this football program. They've been going downhill over the last couple of years. And, hey, ever since Jameis Winston got drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Clemson and Dabo Sweeney has taken over the ACC. So this shouldn't be a complete shocker to people.
Yeah, but brother, my question is, and I posed this to Brandon during a break and even to our guys before the show, is this because Florida State has a drop-off in talent, or is this because of the coaching that's going on in Tallahassee? Because, look, Florida State's got talent on that team, like 5-star talent. And the fact that they're playing the way they are, I just have to ask the question, is this talent on the team, or is this maybe something that's going on with the coaching staffs?
Well, you've been around sports, not just football, sports for a long time.
Right.
It looks like they just gave up after a while in that game.
I agree.
They just stopped caring. Like, they're tuning out people. That's what it feels like to me. And we're only in the 3rd game of the season, and I want to clarify something. Syracuse beat Florida State. That wasn't an upset. Oh. They hammered them for 4 quarters with a backup quarterback. It's not like a slip on a banana peel and then they won by a field goal. They beat Florida State in that game. And you see coming up, they got Northern Illinois
tough
at home,
game.
Mac school. Like, that should be a win. But then they're going to Louisville. And then the big one, oh, man, for recruiting purposes, they got to go to South Florida in a couple weeks. Hurricanes and the turnover chain are going to be ready for Willie Taggart.
Oh, man. That's another game you should probably go down to if Florida State was good. But it might be like a 1 or 2 win Florida State team traveling to Miami. So I just don't know how exciting that would be. But, I mean, you know, look, we both know as we sit here and talk that Willie Taggart's not going anywhere after this year.
Oh,
and all that talk can stop. It's fun to say, oh, you know, the $24 million buyout, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fun to say for a minute. He's not going anywhere. He's going to have time to turn it around. But I've just, you know, last question on this. I don't remember a team like this. I don't remember players giving up on a coach 3 games into the season. I watched that game last Saturday, that 4-game, and I saw where Syracuse decided, you know what, screw it. We're going to run this thing up on Florida State, and they're not going to play. We're just going to keep running it down their throat. Have you ever seen anything like that with the Seminoles, and can they respond against a Northern Illinois team that's actually not bad in MAC play?
Well, here's the thing with the ACC. It paybacks you-know-what. For years and years and years, Florida State's running up the score on people and doing the tomahawk chop. Well, guess what? Now we're going to beat you and see how it feels. That's what it is. The thing with Willie Taggart They didn't pay him to go to a bowl game. You're here at Florida State to win 10 games a year.
Right.
You're here to beat the Gators and win the ACC and beat Clemson. That's what you're supposed to be doing here. That's why this is all insane. Like the Gators have gone through this. Hey, you guys here with the Tennessee Volunteers, you know, you had Philip Fulmer, you're winning all these big games, you're competing with Steve Spurrier, winning national champions, but you know over the last decade it's been down as a program.
Right.
This is new territory for Florida State and their fans. They've never experienced this before. But guess what? Texas has gone through it, Colorado, yep. Florida, Michigan. Now it's happening to Florida State.
Hell, even Notre Dame. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so it's nothing new along the big programs, and I think we're starting to see a trend where some, you know, they dip down into that territory they've never been before, and they try to get back up, and usually they do. And Tennessee State, they made the wrong hire at first with Dooley, and then things never rebounded. But let's shift focus. Let's talk about things that are happening in Gainesville and Knoxville. Saturday night, 7:00. Big game for both of these squads and both of these head coaches. Key stat that sticks out to me with the Gators. Felipe Franks is the third leading rusher for the Florida Gators, but he's only 2 yards back from being the second leading rusher behind Damian Pierce, a freshman. What in the world is going on with the Florida offensive line and the running back situation in Gainesville?
Well, it feels like Dan Mullen has decided Felipe Franks is my quarterback. Because even in that game on Saturday, there was garbage time. He could have put other quarterbacks in. He didn't. He's putting all the chips in on Felipe Franks. This is his guy moving forward. That's who he's going to develop. He's going with that. The running back position, Pierce is one of these guys that looks like maybe he needs to get more carries. And they really believe in Jordan Scarlett. But it just feels like he hasn't delivered yet in the first 3 games of the season.
Agreed.
So it's still like a let's feel this out after a while. Because it still feels like the Gators haven't found their identity on offense. And look, everyone's critical of the quarterback at Florida. Right now it's Felipe Franks. I'm just at the point after a while. Look, he's not John Elway. Just stop it. He's not going to throw, you know, 50 touchdown passes this year.
Yeah.
This is the quarterback. My more concern is, if I'm Tennessee, I am attacking that defensive line of the Gators.
Yeah,
because they looked atrocious against Kentucky. Think about this stat. Not only did they not sack the quarterback of Kentucky, they didn't have a QB hurry in the game.
Oh,
and
God.
They gave up 300 yards rushing to Kentucky, of all teams. That's why if I'm Tennessee, I'm going to try to run it right down the front 7 of Florida when I look at this contest.
And that's what Tennessee has, is the running backs be able to do it. Now, the problem is the right side of their offensive line, they can't figure out who to put there because they're just not getting any good play on a consistent basis. Left side of the line, different story with Trey Smith anchoring down that side. But and then you look at, you know, the quarterback situation with Garantano. You know, he's in the top 10 of efficiency, you know, in the country, but then I look at the flip side of it. He hasn't really thrown the ball much. I mean, he threw the ball for 13 times against ETSU, and I think he threw it around 12 to 14 times against UTEP this weekend. So I don't take too much from that when it comes to efficiency, but what does Tennessee have to do you think, with their quarterback situation to be able to expose, like you said, Florida's defensive line? Is it run a lot of play action? Is it try to get off the ball? I mean, how does Tennessee, you think, try to play that?
Hey, I like your question. It's that those big uglies up front. If
right.
they can get that push, you can get that push up front, and you can make the Gators in bad situations, then you get your quarterback moving around. You get him time to dance, and he can find receivers down the field, you're going to be okay. But Trey, you know this. We're not getting a 35-32 game.
Hell no.
That's what I'm saying. So this is very key for both young coaches in this game, right? Every point's going to count in this game. If you have a field goal try, go take that field goal. Get every point you can in this game. Because I could see it, honestly, and I know the fans don't want to hear this. I could see 17-13 with the final score. Like, every point is going to count in this game. But if
yeah.
you're Tennessee, switching to you, make sure your quarterback has time in the pocket, and then he can move around and make plays. And look, start running. If you're the quarterback, start running down the field on this Gators defense.
Dude, I sit in the stands for the Alabama-LSU game where it was 9-6 in overtime. So I've prepared myself to sit in the press box for this game to end up being like 10-7 at the end of the fourth quarter.
Doesn't it? Okay.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Doesn't it feel like the season finally starts this Saturday?
Gosh,
after what we've seen? That's all I could care less these first three games of the SEC schedule. I'm like, now the real game starts.
Right.
No more cupcakes. Because I said this on my show yesterday. I love college football, but I also love the NFL. The NFL has been fantastic through the first 2 weeks, and I feel like there's been too many fluff games so far in college football. But now college football is like, all right, we're done with the nonsense. Let's get to some big rivalry games. And I can't stress this enough. If you're not a fan of Florida or Tennessee, you have to go to this game one time in your life. It is worth the price of admission just for the fans who hate each other. I love it.
Hey, Mark, it's Brandon. I was wondering, you guys mentioned the LSU-Alabama game, called the game of the century, and that was great defense. Do you think the Florida-UT game being so low scoring, will it be a result of bad offense or two good defenses?
It's a great question. And by the way, I've lived in different parts of the country, and there are multiple games that are game of the century. So I don't even know what the game of the century is.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I have no idea. Because I thought Oklahoma-Nebraska was the game of the century, but then it's not. So to answer your question, here's the thing. These two coaches don't really know their personnel yet.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's not even their personnel. I think it's going to be two bad offenses. And then whoever can win the turnover battle, I think, and I know that's cliche, like I'm a high school coach talking, but doesn't that feel like that's going to be the difference? Whoever starts coughing up the ball is going to lose this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the vibe we're having, too. Just whoever makes the fewest mistakes. Like, it's going to be like heavyweight boxers going at it in the first couple rounds, just try to feel each other out. But, yeah, I was just curious, what's the fans' take on Felipe Franks? Are they done with him down there? And, Dan Mullen's just going with him anyway? Or do they believe in him as well?
It's a tough question to answer because, like I said, we haven't taken on the real opponents yet. Now it's going to start. And even Vandy, who put up a good fight against Notre Dame, that's going to be a contest. South Carolina. The Gators have LSU in the swamp, which who even knows what's going to happen now in that game. The thing with Franks is he's missing a lot of open receivers down the field.
Yep.
But that's being a rookie, not understanding the feel for the game. And he's got a lot of new wide receivers as well. He needs to figure out what he's got, and it takes time. This is the problem with college football fans. You want someone to show up, and then you want them to turn into Tim Tebow. But it took time for Tebow to figure it out as well. You just have to be patient, and this is the thing with Gator Nation. I always say this. Every July and August, the Gator fans go, you know what, we're going to rebuild, we're going to go 8-4, and that's okay. They play the first game of the year. They put up 50 points. All right, we're going 12-0, and we're going to win the national title. Then they lose the game. Oh, no, we're going to be 8-4. This happens every year. And I know there in Tennessee you guys got the same problems.
No, I agree completely. And you're making comparisons about QBs. Just take a look at the progression of Drew Locke and where he was the start of his SEC career and to where he is now. That's the perfect example of somebody waiting on a QB, waiting on them to improve, and then going in, to a game. Before I get your predictions, I want to go over the SEC schedule this weekend. What games stick out to you and kind of your picks? Georgia going to Missouri. That's a 12 o'clock kickoff. You think Missouri can give Georgia a shot with the offense?
For a half.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Is that wrong? Is that?
No, it's not wrong. No, I mean, I tend to agree with you on that.
I'm at the point now where, look, we know our contenders. We got Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, and maybe there's one other team in there. And then everyone else is just kind of fighting for, let's see if we can get to a New Year's Six Bowl. That's how it kind of feels. What is it, year five of the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's what's happened here now. They'll give them a half. And then it's just like what happened against South Carolina. South Carolina started throwing some jabs, it's early rounds of a boxing match. And then Georgia took over after a while. That's what's going to happen also with Georgia and Missouri this weekend.
Okay, surefire picks real quick. Texas A&M and Alabama. How far do those Aggies keep it close, you think?
2.5 quarters, okay. And then Bama takes over.
South Carolina, Vanderbilt. South Carolina should be on upset alert, in my opinion. What do you think?
Where's the game at? In Columbia?
In Nashville.
I will go with Vandy in the upset.
I like it too. I'm not worried about Louisiana Tech. Here's an intriguing one. Mississippi State travels to Kentucky.
Mississippi State, but by a field goal. That'll be close.
Okay.
I give credit to Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 12 fans who care about football. I'm very excited for them. Okay? I am.
Hey, how many points does Auburn score on Arkansas?
I think you and me might score on Arkansas.
That's a train wreck.
I think, you know, Chad Morris, where was he at? He was
SMU.
At SMU.
Yeah.
Someone had to take the job. He said, fine, I'll take it.
Right.
All right, let's go. That's like Louis Taggart. Is it really Chad Morris's fault that Brett Bielema was terrible there and set the program back 10 years? Is that really his problem?
They had 400 fans coming out of the halftime tunnel.
Now you're laughing.
It was just bad. No, I mean, I feel bad for Arkansas. They'll get back, though. Okay, prediction on it. I gave my prediction on a show this morning down in Florida, but I'm holding mine off till Friday, but I want yours. Florida travels to Knoxville, 7 o'clock Saturday night. Gators are a 4.5-point favorite right now. Give me your prediction. How's it in?
I think it was 6.
It started off.
4.5?
Yep.
I mean, I think Tennessee might be by 3 by the time we get to kickoff. It might just keep changing.
Yeah.
I'm going to hate – so all your listeners hate me. I'm going like 13-10 Gators with the win.
Okay. I mean, you're giving Tennessee a shot on that one. They're not going to hate you for it. We're all over the country, man. It really doesn't matter. It's all good.
All right, where were you at in Florida? Gainesville? Who called you up?
Gainesville. Down there with Gator Country.
Oh, so then my boy, Andrew Spivey.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Yes.
Oh, he's the man.
He's a 251 boy as well, Mobile boy. So.
Yeah, I know. That's all I know is when I saw Ole Miss go up 7-0 and then they threw a parade for themselves, and then Nick Saban like did the finish him like it's Mortal Kombat. That's all I needed to see. I don't know who's going to stop Alabama now. I have no idea, Trey. Maybe you can answer that question.
I did pick one of these schools, 21-17. I'll announce who I picked that on Friday. Here's a stat on you on the way out. Thank you so much for joining. Jake Fromm and Tua Tagovailoa have combined for 0 pass attempts in the fourth quarter this season. How about that on your way out?
What?
Yep. 0 pass attempts.
They don't need to throw.
Nope. Mark, tell everybody where they can follow you, where they can catch your show, brother.
Yeah, I'm on 1560 The Fan here in Central Florida, 3 to 6 Eastern time after The Beard, 1 to 3, The Optional. That's right, the man, the myth, the legend. And follow me on Twitter at Mark Mosey Show, and I do TV coverage for Spectrum Sports Orlando as well. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy. Mark Mosey, fantastic. Okay, I'll just draw it out for a minute since we're going to take a long break. No, that was really good. Look, he 13-10, like I'm starting to feel a score like this, like a 17-13 Vols or a, like you said, a 13-10 Gator. We'll just see. I think it's going to be like a running game, back and forth. And then somebody's going to explode for a touchdown. And it's going to open things up, Brandon. How about that stat, though? Jake Fromm and Tua have combined for 0 pass attempts in the fourth quarter.
I mean, it sounds startling, but then when you see how dominant they've been, it's like, okay,
yeah,
that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they've been yanked. They haven't even played in the fourth quarters. I don't know. Nothing surprises me. People are really haggering old Willie Taggart down there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad Tennessee, like, this will be a close game. I'm excited. Like he said, it feels like the football season's starting this weekend. So, I don't know, in the grand scheme of things, like he mentioned as well, how dominant the, like, top five of college football is. Like, this feels like the Mega Bowl in semi-pro, where it didn't really matter who won or lost.
Mega Bowl! Be there!
It's a big one.
Saturday! Like,
the biggest non-important game of the season.
Gonna wrestle a bear! It's the Mega Bowl. What else do you need? It's going to be a big trophy. Dude rolls out to him out there. Hey, Jackie, I tried to go cash this check, but they wouldn't let me. Well, did you go to the big check bank? Well, no, I didn't think about that. You got to go to the big check bank to cash it. God, I love Will Ferrell. Catch you on the other side. That was a fun hour. Went by quick. Jason Martin coming up next. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.